Tie it all up in a tight, tight knot.
In a tight knot. Tie.
Tie it a up. Knot.
Tie, tie a knot. Tie a knot. Tie, tie a knot.
You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
A real old gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most injury tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared for you, including a very personal one. Involving Hawaiian pizza.
Yes, the debate ends tonight.
Yeah, well, I want to see you try the pizza and bow before awesome it is.
I'll try it, but I'm not bowing, Rich.
All right, well, we'll see when we get to the side dish. We're going to try and attempt to do a live taste testing of Hawaiian pizza. So that'll be coming up later on in the side dish. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. We're going to have plenty to get to. Nena's also going to be joining us, too.
That's right.
Man, it's going to be a jam-packed episode. But before we get into all the news that we need to talk about, it's time to do our personal bit, let you know what we've been up to. So, Mike, how you doing? What's up?
I'm good. I was able to finish the final season of Orange is the New Black recently.
Okay.
Wrapped that up, all 13 episodes of it. Boy, what a journey. You know, you grow so attached to these characters and their stories, their personal struggles. My initial reaction is that it was good, but my main complaint is that over the years they've introduced so many characters. So it's impossible to give them all a proper fitting ending. You know, there's just too many to juggle there in the last season to try and wrap up everything. I think the show bit off way more than it could chew between seasons 5 and 6 in greatly expanding the cast. And so the last few episodes felt kind of rushed. They're like jumping around like, oh, here's what this character is doing. Here's what this character is doing. Here's what this character is doing.
Kind of Mass Effect itself.
Yeah. And they introduced even more new characters in the 7th season. So, I mean, it became a little unwieldy, the number of characters' stories that they were trying to wrap up in the last few episodes. Mm-hmm. And it felt like they were cramming in as many cameos and one-off appearances and little callbacks as they could. But it made it feel very rushed and piecemeal and contrived at times. That being said, I think the show still does a fantastic job of dealing with really complicated issues about right and wrong and how people struggle with doing what's right and being labeled as bad people, even though, you know, you watch through their stories that they're not necessarily bad. They just got dealt a bad hand and they've struggled with dealing with it. That's still a worthwhile pursuit of the show. Overall, really enjoyable. Still has that dark humor. Still has a lot of those really tense, dramatic character moments that everybody really likes. And it was a fun journey. And I'd say if you haven't watched it, it's all out there now, so definitely give it a shot. The first 4 seasons were absolutely spectacular. Dipped a little bit, but season 6 and 7 slowly brought it back.
Is that going to be the new MO for Netflix shows? Because it seems like they always start out great, and then...
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and then they kind of hit like a creative wall.
Yeah, obviously House of Cards is the biggest perpetrator. I never even finished that series.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black dipped a little bit. I'm a little bit worried of Stranger Things. So far, it's been very, very good. I really like the third season.
But it's only been 3 seasons.
Yeah. And apparently, they're only going 4, which is what I think shows should be. Shows shouldn't go more than 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
You always see that dip in quality after that 4th or 5th season, typically. I can't even think of a show that stayed that high quality for that long.
Only Breaking Bad. That's the only one I can think of.
And even barely, because they only did 16 episode seasons and they only did six. So, right? I think it was only six seasons, wasn't it? Breaking Bad.
No, they had five, but the last season was broke. They did that weird breaking up
episode.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that's like 5A, 5B, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, even that show, if it had gone even longer, you know, you start to run out of creative juices. Yeah, I kind of worry that that's going to be the case with the Netflix shows. But
yeah, it seems like it's been like their MO. Like their first two or three seasons, you know, is out of the park, and then it just kind of goes downhill.
Yeah, well, that's Netflix's problem.
Yeah, they'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, but as for Orange is the New Black, definitely give it a shot if you haven't. I also started up a new game. As people know, I got a Nintendo Switch about, what, a year and a half ago? And I'd never been a Nintendo fan.
Yeah, this was your first Nintendo purchase.
So part of the journey has been playing all those Nintendo franchises that I've missed out on, right? So it was my first Mario Kart and my first Mario Party and, you know, all of these. I've played them before, you know, fooled around with them, but I've never owned them and played through them, Smash Brothers, that sort of stuff. So I started on The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
I've never played a Legend of Zelda game.
Uh-huh.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's so enjoyable. Have you ever played Legend of Zelda? I know you were a Nintendo fan, but I don't think that was really your genre.
Yeah, that kind of went over my head. Yeah, I was always more into GoldenEye and Mario Kart and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's really really enjoyable. I see where all the hype comes from. I mean, obviously
Star Fox. I love Star Fox.
Star Fox. Yeah, you like the more sci-fi stuff and the more well, Mario Kart doesn't fit that, but action oriented stuff.
Chaos. That's what I like. I like
there you
chaos.
Go. You like chaos, yeah. Well, Legend of Zelda is not necessarily chaos, but it has been a blast so far. I've only put a couple of hours into it, but I'm really excited to play more of it. It's the very first one that I've ever played in a series that's been going on for 30 years, so I'm a little late to the party.
Better late than never.
Right, exactly. But that's part of the fun of the Nintendo Switch. I'm getting to play stuff that I never got a chance to play because I was always Sega and PlayStation growing up. So it's like I'm discovering everything for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times you miss that with these recurring series. It's like it's always the same old thing. Like how many God of Wars and Uncharted have we played? But with the Nintendo Switch, it's like everything is brand new to me. Even though people have been playing it for decades, I'm like, oh my God, Mario Kart's amazing. You're like, yeah, this is like the eighth entry in the series. Where have you been?
Yeah.
You know?
You weren't with the OGs with Mario Kart.
No, I was Sonic the Hedgehog all the way. Sonic, Golden Axe, Echo the Dolphin. You're like, what is that you're talking about?
Echo the Dolphin, I have
Echo
no idea.
Echo the Dolphin. You played as a dolphin.
Woo!
It's right there in the name, Rich.
Okay, there you go.
Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. Rich, what have you been up to?
I was at the Breaking Benjamin 3 days Grace and Chevelle show. It was pretty good. You know, nice summer night out at BB&T. You know, one of those you know, Friday nights out on the lawn, out on BB&T. So a nice little concert treat for this week. The other thing I did was I shot a bucket of balls at my local driving range.
Well, there you go. Well, it was great
weather
to do that.
I did it early too.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I got up early and I went to the range like right when they opened.
Oh, the classic golf thing.
The air was crisp.
Ooh.
And it was relatively cool for it being August, and yeah, it was just very relaxing.
There was some really nice weather this past weekend.
Yeah, and I took advantage of it because Lord knows that in September we're probably going to get hit with like two heat waves or something.
Probably. And then you got the hurricanes, and then it's snow.
Yeah. So there you go. Enjoying the nice weekends here in August while we get them. All right, but now it's time to get to the first batch of topics that revolve around sports. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in this first topic. We're going to do a quick topic in 2 minutes or less in the 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, I have the clock armed and go. What do you have, Mike?
All right, this week in the two-minute drill, we have some Eagles football news. Unfortunately, it's not great news. Eagles backup quarterback Nate Sudfeld broke his non-throwing wrist in the team's first preseason game. Before the injury, Sudfeld was putting on a decent performance, throwing for 177 yards and a touchdown while completing more than 55% of his passes against a good number of Titans starting defenders. While Sudfeld is expected to return in about 6 weeks, sometime in late September, this injury has many fans concerned about the overall health at the position. Fans were a bit twitchy about quarterback injuries, given that franchise quarterback Carson Wentz has missed significant time from injuries the past two seasons. Rich, is this something we need to be concerned about going forward, Nate Sudfeld being out?
No. They're saying Nate's probably going to be back around week four or five of the NFL season. Maybe, you know, later if it's really bad with his non-throwing hand. Basically, if Wentz goes down, you know, we're already screwed as it is if Wentz goes down anyway.
But here's
I don't think Nate Sudfeld's really going
to
help.
Right, and that's the thing that I was going to get to, is people make it seem like Nate Sudfeld is Nick Foles.
Yeah.
No, he's not. I mean, to be fair, we don't really know what he's capable of, but they make it seem like he's this great, you know, safety net.
Right.
You know, he's this veteran quarterback presence that we signed in the offseason to guide our team in case Carson. No, he's a second-year player that has no game-time experience.
Yeah.
So while, yes, it is a certain blow to the position that we don't have the penciled-in number two, I don't think it's going to change the outcome of those games if Carson Wentz goes down.
Yeah. I mean, are you really going to sign somebody just to fill in for, like, the first 3 weeks of the season?
No, definitely not. You don't want to carry four quarterbacks on your roster. That's insane.
Right. So I think at the end of the day, you just take a breath, absorb the hit, and act calmly and proceed into the beginning of the season. Calm!
Like how you shouted calm in a frantic manner.
Yes, that's how we end.
That basically sums up Rich. He's like, calm!
Be calm! This is how we end the two-minute drill.
But you know what? Sometimes you need to shout and rave and rant like a lunatic, because there's some stories that just have you going, WTF, what is going on here? And that's what we're trying to figure out with, I was going to say Steelers, Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown.
Yep.
It has been nothing but controversy and weird story after another. He's taken people on quite the journey here. So where do we begin? First,
yeah, where do you want to begin? Because there's so much stuff going on with Antonio Brown. It's unbelievable. He hasn't even played a game yet for the Raiders.
Yeah.
And he's causing all this hoopla.
You have to wonder. Well, we'll get into it. We'll get into how Raiders fans must be feeling. But yeah, so he signs on with the Raiders. Yeah, it's exciting. But just recently, it was found out that he suffered one of the strangest injuries I've ever heard of. Severe frostbite.
In the middle of the summer.
In the middle of the summer. On his feet. Because, and I can't make this up, he wasn't wearing the proper protective gear in a cryotherapy chamber.
Wrong. You're wrong.
So, I mean, this is just so bizarre. Cryotherapy is, you know, like the ice baths athletes take?
Yeah.
This is like the 21st century
stuff
version.
That I would love.
Right, exactly. It's just like, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
But this is the 21st century version of that. Apparently, they drop, you stand in this tube and your head has to be sticking out of it because you don't want to mess up. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But they basically put you in a tube that's minus 140 degrees. And you're supposed to wear special protective clothing on your extremities because those are the ones that have the highest danger of getting frostbite, like your feet, like those things that are really important for a position who spends all its time running and cutting and jumping. And so what does Antonio Brown not do is wear the proper protective footwear and get massively frostburned feet. So they're going to heal eventually, but there's no timetable. So what do the Raiders do? They're all pro wide receivers, like, whoops, can't run my routes, got frostbitten feet.
Yeah, whoops. Sorry, Chief.
It's like the dumbest reason ever for a player to have to sit out is frostbite.
Yeah,
and who knows how this is going to impact him going forward?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I think it'll just heal on its own, but this is uncharted territory. This has never happened to an athlete that plays such a critical role to an offense that they, you know, they need him back as soon as possible.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of digging, and apparently this has happened before to Olympic sprinter Justin Gatlin. Had a similar experience in 2011, and in that sprinting world championship year, he turned in one of his worst performances of his career because of the frostbite that he suffered.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
That's actually live audio from the Raiders training camp.
I believe that's John Gruden.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. He's right there.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
That's after Antonio Brown got out of the cryotherapy.
Yeah.
That's what John Gruden said to him. But, yeah, I mean, fans must be incredibly, I don't know, I'm not a Raiders fan, but they must be a little bit worried that this represents a few things to me. One, lack of precaution on his part.
Yeah, just being reckless.
And if it's not reckless, then it's stupidity.
Yeah.
So it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. He's either reckless or he's stupid.
It might be both.
It might be both. And you know, it's... You're getting paid so much money. You know, this is your livelihood that you're putting...
$50 million contract he's on?
Yeah, exactly. So the Raiders must be mildly ticked off. The fans probably more so. But people, of course, are vicious online, and they're jokingly pointing out that the Madden curse struck a year late because they're pointing out a fun bit of irony.
It's still a hit. I mean, it's
a year later, but it's a hit nonetheless.
He also, you know, everything that went on towards the end of that Steelers season was just unprecedented.
That's true. But people love the irony, the fact that EA Games uses a game development engine called, wait for it, Frostbite.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Yeah.
Yeah, so people are loving that online right now. They're like, look, Madden's made with the Frostbite engine, and their cover athlete from last year got Frostbite. I mean, it's... You can't write that stuff. You can't make that up.
Yeah.
I want to say it's too good to be true, but...
That's a perfect circle of incompetence.
Yeah, a circle of incompetence. I love it. You know? And the circle goes on and on because Brown is in the headlines for more reasons. It gets even weirder because he started a fight with the NFL not about penalties or, you know, any of the serious things that NFL players have to deal with, but about his preferred brand and model of helmet.
Yeah.
So this has been raging the past few days. The NFL told players they can no longer use certain types of models of helmets. And I was actually reading up on it. It's actually fairly interesting to see how the NFL goes about doing this. They certify helmets every year. They test helmets, and they say these are the safest helmets based on their testing, and these helmets that haven't passed certification are on the banned list. And this covers helmets that have been manufactured in the last 10 years. So what happens is that Antonio Brown's preferred model of helmet has not been manufactured in the past 10 years because that company stopped making this in, I think it was 2011. So there's not many of these helmets around. So people thought this meant that Antonio Brown's helmet was banned. And so he went to the NFL and complained about it. Really, it's not banned. It's just that it hasn't been certified. And it can get recertified, but he has to find a new helmet that fits him to be certified. And the problem is the helmet he currently uses, that apparently he took from the Steelers, he's been using the same helmet forever and ever and ever, is older than 10 years old, which is a huge safety concern.
And apparently he also tried to spray paint it the Raiders colors. He thought he could get away with it.
What a bozo.
Yeah.
What an absolute bozo. Yeah. So basically the NFL said, look, if you can find a new helmet that fits, that's less than 10 years old, you're more than welcome to try and have it recertified. So he put out the call to his fans on Twitter that he needed a very specific type of helmet. Apparently, him and his agent have found one. It's going through the recertification process. But I can't believe all this time and energy and effort wasted on a specific model, specific brand and model of helmet.
And you're also forgetting the fact that he threatened to quit the NFL over it.
That's right. He threatened to retire over this helmet issue.
If you don't give him my helmet, I'm going to leave the NFL.
So the Raiders have to be wondering, what happens in 2022 when it's been 11 years since this manufacturer stopped making the helmet? Because it has to be 10 years or younger.
How about just the fact that he was threatening to leave this season? I think that's kind of a bigger concern.
Oh, man. So the big question here is, obviously it's worth it, I guess, to the Raiders, but I don't know.
This is why the Steelers traded him.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely right. Go back a couple of months when this trade first got announced. He got traded for a third and a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
And we all said, what are the Steelers smoking? Like, he's an all-pro, all-elite wide receiver, arguably, you know, one of the top three wide receivers in the game. And you're just like, I think we said on this podcast, how bad could he have been?
Right.
You know? Like, he is one of the commandeering presence out of all the wide receivers in the league. We said, how bad could he possibly be for the Steelers to be willing to get rid of him for just a third and a fifth round draft pick?
Yeah.
Here is your answer. He has literally been nothing but a headache since he landed in Oakland, and he hasn't even played a damn snap yet.
Right. And these are just distractions on distractions.
It's ridiculous.
What's that doing to this team that's trying to rebuild now?
Yeah.
You have this constant calamity going on in the locker room between frostbitten feet and threats of retirement and putting a call out to fans to find them a specific model of helmet. It's just, it's nonsense and it's noise. And for a team that's struggling, trying to rebuild, trying to relocate, this is the last thing that they want on their plate right now.
But here's the thing though. If this was any other team, right, this would be disastrous.
Yeah.
But for the Raiders, who are playing their last season in Oakland,
this makes perfect sense.
Who are right now being featured on Hard Knocks on HBO, who have John Gruden as their head coach, who loves chaos and player showmanship and craziness on his team, this fits perfectly for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
It's almost eerie how well it does.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Any other franchise would be fed up with this, but I'm probably wrong. They're probably thriving on it.
Yeah.
In a weird sort of roundabout way.
I'll tell you what. I'm actually I'm ready to watch Hard Knocks this week. I can't wait for the episode to premiere.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to touch on any of this
stuff.
It has
to.
You would hope so.
The all-star wide receivers threatening to retire?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, this has to be a key feature of it.
It's almost like he's doing it just for the cameras, if that's the case.
Why not?
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. I can't stand these prima donna wide receivers. I know wide receivers, that position invites that type of attitude. But man, oh man, you really have to question whether it's worth it. And I guess for the Raiders, I guess they're willing to put up with it. Like you said, John Gruden probably loves it. They're probably thriving on it. But I know the Eagles would never put up with something like that. Look what they did when T.O. tried his stunts, you know?
This would not fly with the Eagles organization.
No.
It fits almost too perfectly with this team. And you know what? I'm in it. I'm in it for the long haul now. I want to see how far this goes on Hard Knocks and where this goes with the Oakland Raiders.
And, you know, raises an interesting point, like, does this in a weird sort of way make people want to watch the Raiders more to find out what's going on with the prima donna wide receiver?
We have a little bit of time. Can I play the opening clip to Hard Knocks this season for the Oakland Raiders?
Sure.
This is John Gruden trying to motivate his team. I wanted to play before I was ready for it.
That's how crazy John Gruden is.
He's jumping my play button.
He hacked your computer and he started playing before you were ready.
Yeah. So here it is. This is his hype speech at training camp to get the Raiders ready for the season.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies. All right, everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream.
That's the tagline the Raiders are running with. I'm into effing dreams or effing nightmares.
Wow.
You need to end somebody else's dream.
I don't know. That's such a weird way to motivate people.
Yeah.
That's such a negative connotation.
This is the Raiders we're talking about.
Yeah. The Raiders and Antonio Brown. It's a nightmare, and that's exactly what they want.
Yeah. And this is what you get.
Wow.
So, Oakland, hope you enjoy your last season with your Raiders, because this is it. This is what you get.
I feel so bad for Oakland fans.
Yeah.
Out of everybody, they are the ones that are getting the worst deal of this.
Yeah.
Because
they
really
are.
This
is it. They're not even getting a team back. This is it.
This is the final season, and they get to read headlines. Antonio Brown threatens to retire over helmet. Antonio Brown frostbites feet.
How about we go earlier in the year? Remember we were worried that the Raiders weren't actually going to play in Oakland? Remember
that,
Tim?
Yeah. They were threatening to go on the road for all 16 games.
Yeah.
This is really just a larger... You're right. Antonio Brown is a microcosm of a much larger issue at play, which is that the Oakland Raiders
are
dysfunctional.
Fucking nuts.
Yes.
I'm going to say it right now. They are fucking nuts.
They really are. In so many words, they really are. I mean, the Browns have always been bad, but the Raiders are a special type of stupid.
Yeah. Like, you don't know whether or not they're going to freaking...
You don't know whether you're going to get 12-4 pushing for playoffs, or you're going to get 4-12 and fire sailing the team.
Yeah, and they're knocking players out left and right.
Yeah. So, yeah. You hit the nail on the head. They're fucking nuts.
Yes. I think
they're a special
type of stupid.
It's appropriate
to curse.
Yeah.
The Browns were dysfunctional. The Giants are dysfunctional. The Raiders are fucking nuts.
Expert analysis here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You're not going to find that type of analysis anywhere else. I'll tell you, you're never going to hear ESPN say that. Adam Schefter go, the Raiders are fucking nuts.
Yeah, there you go.
They're fucking nuts and they're knucking futs.
The cursing was necessary.
Yeah.
But that is what I believe.
That's right. Nena's going to be on later.
That's right. It'll all balance out because Nena's coming in just a little bit. So there you go. That's what we have for you in this quick sports sampler. Literally a sports sampler for you, because we got a lot of meal for your mind coming your way with the entertainment entree. Nena's going to join us. And then, actually, literally food. We're going to try some Hawaiian pizza because... This topic was such a lightning rod of votes and polls online. We have to officially try it. Mike has to officially try Hawaiian pizza and give his verdict. And then, of course, we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news to wrap up the show. We got all the shows still coming your way next here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Father Sean Thompson was stopped and charged with a DUI, as well as a number of misdemeanor drugs and weapons offenses. After a trooper observed his pickup truck doing 79 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. Trooper Christopher Bitts observed the 52-year-old's truck was weaving and speeding when Bitts approached the vehicle and asked Thompson for his registration. The priest just handed over a receipt from the bar instead.
That's how you know you're drunk.
Thompson did not tell the officer that he also had a 9mm pistol in his back pocket. He also failed to inform Bitts that he also had a small quantity of marijuana he had stashed in his shirt.
Guns and drugs and booze?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. Guns, drugs, and booze.
Yeah.
In the name of the gun and of the beer and of the illegal drugs. Our Father, who art with guns, drunken be thy name.
Thy kingdom come when thou is high, on earth as it is in the clouds.
Amen. I would like to go to one of his sermons. He gets to the part with the wine and he just keeps on asking the altar boy for a refill. Like, more! Come here, boy!
We need it for God, alright?
It's for God! I said it's for God, give me another one. And the little, like, 9-year-old's like, sir, I'm gonna have to cut you off.
That's when you know you're an alcoholic.
When the altar boy cuts you off of sacramental wine.
Yeah. Padre, sit down. Sit down the next couple rounds, okay?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We have ventured past the world of sports, but before we move right along into the entertainment entree, we've got a very special guest that's joining us for the rest of the ride. Folks, please give a warm welcome for Nena back on the show. How you doing, Nena?
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah.
You were just on the show, though, recently.
I know.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
You did.
I know. I was trying to take over, but you still won't go away.
Almost.
You did a fantastic job on the podcast festival live episode.
Thank you. I tried to keep it as non-sexual as possible.
But
that's not what happened at all.
Right. It only works the first like 10 minutes. Then after that, you gotta go back to original Nena.
The perv.
OG Nena.
OG perv.
OG perv Nena. I like it.
Great.
You know, when you have a brand, you just stick with it, you know?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Are you upset that that's your brand, perv Nena?
No, but I wanted to tell you guys that I twisted my ankle this weekend.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Were you running away from geese?
No, but I was drinking.
That happens.
My friend had a liquor cart.
Wait, what? He had a cart?
She has a liquor cart, and it's full of liquor, and it's all like delicious, expensive, snobby liquors.
Is this at her house or at a bar?
At her house.
Oh, okay.
So we went to her house, and then we were like, why do we need to go anywhere when we have this expensive, snobby liquor cart? And
right.
So I probably had like one of each.
Okay. Well, you got to taste test everything.
Yes. And then when it was time to leave, it was dark, and I guess her bottom step is much further from the ground than I had presumed. So when I landed, let's be honest, I don't fully remember landing. I remember like having an ouch moment because
right.
I didn't actually fall, but I remember it like popped out. Like it, ooh. you know, when you roll it.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. So it's a little bit fat. I have a cankle going on. But it's like it's like a one cankle. So I like show it off.
Cankle?
Yeah, I show it off to the men on the street.
Like, oh, you want to see my cankle?
Yeah, like back in the day when the hitchhikers would get picked
right.
up.
And they pick up the dress and
yes.
they show the ankle. And yeah.
So I show the cankle and
you show the cankle.
All the men stop.
You get all the free rides.
Exactly.
There you go.
What's up, one kank?
That's how I got my Uber that night, actually. Once I realized it was swelling, I just flashed
a little cankle.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. You can go far in this world.
Yeah.
Show a little cankle.
But it's okay. You guys have seen me walk in.
Yeah,
not,
I didn't notice that.
I honestly had no idea.
I was limping a little bit yesterday, but today I worked from home, so it was all like foot up and icing and
nice.
Stuff. Like I said, I think it's like a light sprain, so I'm just not going to do anything for a couple weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're not on the IR.
I am not on the
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Got to keep players off the
Yeah.
Can we make that a thing?
The report?
The report. Yeah.
Yeah.
Less syllables, less time. It's good. Time is money, people.
There you go.
Okay.
Time
right.
kills deals.
There you go. We'll do that. The report. Okay. So, and you're going to join us for taste testing the Hawaiian pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh,
so
boy.
We'll get to that later on in this segment in the side dish. But to officially kick off this segment, let's launch into it with the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Hello,
guacamole.
All right, and there you go. Our random sound clip of the week has to be the guacamole song.
I love it. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Yep.
I wish you had played the whole thing, though.
Well, what was that? It went in my autoplay.
The children in our ears.
Right. My autoplay went to another children's
I saw that happening.
Super creepy.
Yeah. But I let it happen.
Oh, so you saw it, and you were like, I'm just going to let it.
I wasn't sure if he had fixed it or not.
Thanks.
Figured we'd guess.
But so the reason why we're playing the guacamole song is because we mentioned it at dinner.
Yes.
And we had to show Nena the wondrous ways of the guacamole song.
It's the best 3 minutes of my life.
Yeah. Yes. If you guys can imagine, there's 3.5 minutes
of
more
that.
To that song.
Right. But I just wanted to play the guacamole part because that's the iconic part. That's the part everybody knows.
Well, that's the conclusion of the song. That's the climactic ending.
Yes.
I would argue the banana is what everyone knows.
Really?
Because when she starts singing the Go Bananas part, I remembered it.
You did.
Are you sure you just remembered Gwen Stefani's song and not her?
Oh, wait. Those are two easily confused songs.
Yeah.
The avocado song
and the banana
and Holla Back Girl. Yeah.
No, wait. I do remember. No, it's a different song that I will sing for you at a later time.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
On the air or off the air?
I mean, I could sing it right now if you want, but there's like a dance to it.
So we won't get the full effect.
No,
okay.
No.
We'll save it for
but
the
break.
But
there is a song that at the end goes, go bananas, go bananas. So that bitch stole it.
Oh,
my God. Copyright? You caught some copyright infringement.
We'll have to find out who
Dr.
came up with
it Jean,
first.
How could you lead us astray?
Oh, that bitch. I knew she was up to no good.
Wait, but she might be the original. We don't know yet.
That is also true.
So it has
we'll
to
have to get the Crispy Noodle investigative team on it.
Yes, has to be proven in a court of law. We need to have
that's
a showdown.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. All right. We'll continue the exciting case of the guacamole song at a later date. But for right now, speaking of things about looking towards the future and stuff like that, Mike likes to give you a rundown for things that are coming up this weekend with movies, TV, and video games in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
If you're hot enough, I'll get to know you.
Yes, and if you're hot enough to make Mike's list, we'll see if it's worth knowing. What do you got for us for this
okay,
weekend entertainment?
Well, this movie is pretty hot. I'm eager to see it. It will sound very familiar to many. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the horror movie based on the famous book series of the same name, hits theaters this week. The book terrified generations of children, and the movie promises more of the same, staying true to the not at all appropriate for children's book illustrations. They were terrifying for children. They
I had nightmares.
They were seriously messed up. It's going to have that same style, and the movie blends many of the famous short stories into one longer story about a group of teens who uncover a book whose tales begin to come true and target them one by one. Despite a younger than usual target demographic for the horror genre, the movie is doing pretty good with critics, garnering an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 62% on Metacritic.
I feel like I have to see this.
I really want to see it. The trailer doesn't make it look that great.
Oh, it's probably shitty then.
But, well, it's... I mean, it's a PG-13 horror movie,
oh,
so...
it's not
going to
be good then.
Well, I'm still going to see
it. That's a good point. If it's not R...
Well, that's what I mean, that, you know...
That means they're going to pull some punches back.
Definitely, definitely. But the books were for children.
That's,
so it's not,
okay.
Like, it's not like the books
it's not
were...
It's like there were titties.
Right.
In the books?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not like there were.
Oh.
Why were there no titties?
I thought you said, I thought there were titties. I was like, what book were you reading?
No.
The ones with titties.
Of course.
Of course.
The only children's stories that we read here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. In TV, we have Mindhunters returning to Netflix for its second season this Friday, produced by David Fincher of Seven, Fight Club, Gone Girl, and House of Cards. The show is set in the late 1970s and follows a small team of agents who begin the FBI's behavioral science unit. Their goal is to interview serial killers to better understand them and develop a psychological profiling system to assist in solving ongoing cases. Season 2 specifically focuses on the Atlanta child murders of 1979 through 1981. It looks really, really cool, very eerie. This season, they're tackling the BTK killer and Charles Manson. So,
have you seen it?
I've seen the first season.
How is it?
It's very, very good.
I mean, it's got to be with David Fincher.
It is. The problem is it's been so long since the first season, but they did such a good job of casting these serial killers, and it's so tense. I mean, all it is a scene of people talking to each other, a lot of it, but it just draws you in with the music and the way they shoot it and the mesmerizing dialogue and the way they just slowly... you know, force you to sit closer and closer and closer, like you're being sucked into it. It's
kind of like
amazing.
Get Out a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It's very tense. Very, very good. Highly recommend it. That's Mindhunters, coming to Netflix this Friday for its second season. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. So our entertainment entree story is actually a little bit of an update from last week. Last week we touched about the gun control debate, but more specifically how politicians were using it to blame it on video games, and we went off on a little bit of a nice conversation about using the video game excuse and why we both didn't like it. Now we seem to have a follow up to this from Walmart.
Yeah,
because Walmart is taking some steps to try and prevent this from happening again.
Yeah. So in the wake of the shootings from I think 2 weeks ago, a lot of people have been reacting to it and coming up with, you know, potential solutions. Walmart has given their version of a solution. They've decided to remove ads, signage, and other displays depicting violence from stores, including video games and hunting videos. But as many reports point out, it interestingly does not halt the sale of guns or ammunition. Walmart gave a statement here: "We've taken this action out of respect for the incidents of the past week, and it does not reflect a long-term change in our video game assortment. We are focused on assisting our associates and their families, as well as supporting the community as we continue a thoughtful and thorough review of our policies." So, guys, I guess the main question here is this fair or foul? Should we reconsider how violence is used in advertising, or is this really just a sort of stunt to unnecessarily link video games to violence as a scapegoat to shift blame away from other possible areas? Sort of a heady topic.
A little bit. But, you know, I find myself coming back to just the same feeling that I can't believe that people are using video games as kind of their card to play that, oh, we've done something about it. It's video games. And then, like, that's it. We've pointed the cause. That's it. I've done my job. And they walk away. And I feel like Walmart is trying to do the same thing here. We're going to take away the advertising and the signage that has to deal with these video games and apparently hunting videos.
It's very...
And be like, oh, that's it. Okay, we did what we did. That's it. We did all we could do. Thank you very much.
It's very low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
They're doing the least amount possible. And I don't... I guess why they're doing it is because one of the shootings occurred in a Walmart. So I guess they want to try and be as delicate about it as possible. But like I said, and like you said, low-hanging fruit, they're just going for the easiest option without trying to stir too much up. And it seems fairly transparent here that they're doing it, you know, not out of any sort of deeper thought, but just because that's what everybody's talking about. So they're just going with the current public zeitgeist.
Are people still saying that it's only video games that are causing this, or mainly video games that are causing this?
There's different camps, but...
There's been a lot of politicians that have just simply come out to just say, well, it's video games' fault.
Well, put it this way, the most powerful politicians are blaming video games currently.
I mean, I feel like I've read stuff on this before, but isn't it like scientifically proven that video games can make you more violent or feel more aggression? And I'm not saying that would be I would assume it makes people that are already potentially prone to violence maybe more violent. But I feel like I've read somewhere that, like, it's scientifically proven that it can, you know, up your heart rate and get you feeling aggressive.
I mean, me and Rich are big gamers. Back in college, I wrote some psychology papers on the subject. And the thinking at the time, and even more so now, is that while video games do elicit certain emotional responses, people don't tend to act on them, right?
So
it's the same as watching an emotional movie or watching a movie that gets your heart racing. It has those same physiological reactions.
Right.
But just like a movie does, you don't watch, like, Saving Private Ryan. You're like, oh, I know. I'm going to go mow down a bunch of people.
Right.
Like, there's no causal link between the playing or the watching of violence and people who commit violent acts, with the sole exception being people who are already predisposed to violence or people that have other mental issues. So the targeting of the media is really scapegoating that we've been using for a long time. And we talked about last week how in the 20s, it was the jazz music. In the 50s, it was rock and roll. In the 60s, the 40s and 50s, it was the comic books. And then it was the rap music. And then it was, you know, the internet. Now it's video games. It's always everything else but the other more difficult issues.
Well, and I think the study that I had read or seen, I think it was more in kids. So it was like kids who had seen something. There was like a control group that didn't see, like, you know, they saw a mother with a child and there was like no violence. And then they saw a mother like violent with a child. And then they like then played with their dolls in that same violent setting.
So like,
I mean, I would say because it's more susceptible probably to kids that are still forming.
And also, I guess part of the issue with that psychological study is kids are looking to, if it was, now I don't know, I didn't see this one, but if it was a parent reacting violently to a child, that's their basis for their building blocks of understanding how those interactions and relationships work. They see a parent and they're like, oh, that's like my parent. That's what that relationship looks like.
Right. Well, because they're easily susceptible to it.
Right.
But then who knows if, you know, if children are kind of in that atmosphere and then grow up to be violent based on that, or at least that's part of, but it also comes with, you know, nature versus nurture and like environment as well.
It's a super complicated topic and one that I don't think we're going to solve here on the podcast.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
But the general gist of it, what I've taken away from it is that, and you know, I know the sample size isn't great, but like me and Rich have played video games for a long time, lots of violent video games. And to our knowledge, together we've killed zero actual people and animals.
Not yet.
Well, but you guys have to, you know, I think a lot of it comes from,
we're well developed. We're not.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
If you listen to 300 episodes of us, you may not think so.
Yeah, but it's a mix between that and psychological issues and, you know, everything else that comes with it.
I just find it problematic that Walmart is taking this stance when there's a lot of other things that they could be doing. I mean, taking down the ad, I don't think people go into Walmart and say, there's an ad for Call of Duty or there's an ad for Fortnite that inspires me to go do violence.
But
I think that's
why
a really big logical leap that they're trying to make this connection here. And I think they're making it because it's the current loudest public, you know, groupthink, and they're just trying to get in on that goodwill without actually doing it. It's like the least amount of action they can take.
Right. Is that why they took them down, though, or do they take them down because it reminds people of getting shot?
Probably both.
Yeah. Like, probably I would think more from the psychological perspective of
wouldn't
not... Wouldn't
the gun display also do that?
I mean...
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where you start crossing the line into actual practicality. I mean, because just dropping the signs...
They're taking down signage, like...
And ads. That doesn't. Yeah. That's not going to stop
people.
No,
I know, but a lot of them are active, like, they're active shooters in those... In those depictions, possibly, of what they've taken down. But I mean, I don't know. I didn't see what they took down. But I wonder if it's more just because it looks bad on their image. I mean, it looks bad on their image regardless, but...
It does. It does. But I just, like I said, I just find it really problematic that they're taking the stance that they're taking now. I mean, I feel like it's a half step. I feel like
It's not even a half step.
It's like a quarter step.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just lazy too. I really just find the argument that if you're going to try and ban, you know, or if you're going to try and blame this on video games and that's going to be your route, that's just lazy because there's no study that approves video games are linked to violence. People play video games every day and they don't, you know, we don't go out and kill people.
Right.
There are 99% of people play video games and were A-okay and, you know.
One of the numbers that came out is that there are 168 million gamers in the U.S.
Are you going to try and ban all their games? Like, no.
If all those people became violent, we'd be living in a constant state of anarchy.
Right.
And, you know, so, but, like I said, much bigger issue, much more complicated issue, but we felt it just necessary to keep people abreast of what's going on and, you know, if it's an issue that has you... you know, upset or wanting to say or do something, you know, take it to your local politicians.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it is a political issue and
we're not going to touch on that.
Yeah. That's where, you know, we hand the ball off to you, the listener, because that's your decision. But from a media standpoint, I think that's a lazy argument and don't come after video games. You know, video games have done so much good for, you know, for not just, you know, us, but, you know, people that use VR to experience something else that they might not have had a chance to experience before, or to tell an amazing story. You know, Last of Us, BioShock, these exquisite, you know, stories that have come from the video game artists. To me, that's just throwing out the baby with the bathwater. If you're really going to go after all video games, it really strikes a personal chord, and I hate it when politicians just throw that as like a general blanket, just like, oh yeah, okay, it's video games, all right, and then like walk away. That's the end of that. So
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. So we'll maintain a vigilant eye on anybody that that is blaming video games for this, and we'll let you know any further developments in that story. We'll
put them on trial here on the podcast.
That's right. But here's another personal issue. This is something Mike wanted to talk about. His favorite director, Quentin Tarantino, has a new film out, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Mike got to see it.
Yeah.
So it's time for Mike's reviews. What do you have?
This is going to be super spoiler-free, just basic impressions, because I know neither you or Nena have seen this movie.
I haven't had a chance to see it.
So I don't want to spoil it for you guys. Don't want to spoil it for the listeners. But I got a chance to see it right here at the Ambler Theater. And I got to say...
Which is interesting. Yeah, the Ambler Theater usually has those like independent art movies.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino is definitely not a blockbuster director, you know?
He's not a blockbuster director. I mean, he had some major hits.
They're major hits, but they're not Fast and the Furious or the latest Disney movie. It's more on the drama side of...
The rated R side.
Yeah, okay.
The Ambler Theater side?
The Ambler Theater side, that's right. But
I don't know. When I think Ambler Theater, I usually think of like all the Oscar nominees that you never heard of. Like what movies are these?
Well, that's just the point. The Oscar nominee is the fall drama movies. That's what the smaller films. It's not. Once Upon a Time is not a blockbuster. It's not.
It's got Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
But it's not. It's not being. I mean, come on.
And what's her name? Margot Robbie.
Yeah, Margot Robbie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not an underdog.
That's
Hollywood.
It literally says Hollywood
It's not, but it's like I'm not talking about in terms of how good it is. I'm talking about in terms of budget and appeal. It's got hundreds of millions of dollars behind it. But it's not a tentpole blockbuster. Why are you fighting me on this? It's not a Marvel movie. It's not a Disney movie. It's not an action movie.
Don't put it on this drama.
This,
don't put it on the same level as like one of those, I don't know, name any other Oscar movie that you never heard of and then it got nominated for Best Picture.
It's up there, though.
It's not Moonlight.
No, it's not Moonlight. Yeah. Well, whatever. It's regardless. You guys are sidetracking the conversation from the amazing Ambler Theater that I wanted to
talk
to.
Did you really want to talk about the Ambler Theater?
I did, because I wanted to make a point here that I was able to, this is the best part of the movie, is I was able to get a ticket, a popcorn, and water for less than $15 at a movie theater.
Okay.
You know what? Screw you guys.
It's not a blockbuster, that's for sure.
I thought it was interesting because usually when you go to a theater, popcorn and water cost you like $15 right there.
So this one cost you $14?
It's including, you know what? The review's over.
I love pissing you off. I love stealing your thunder and crunching it on the ground.
So I was just trying to make a point that the Ambler Theater is a really affordable, nice indie theater that you can go to.
Is this an advertisement for the Ambler Theater?
No, I was just trying to add a little bit of color commentary to the review that you guys just shit all over.
I thought you were going to like talk about the actual like.
I was. This was the introduction to it all, but you sidetracked me on the whole blockbuster conversation.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood I don't even want to talk about it now. I'll say this about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that it was good, but it wasn't one of my favorite Tarantino movies. I've seen basically all of them, and it's more leaning towards the side of how I feel about The Hateful Eight rather than some of his bigger movies like Pulp Fiction and The Kill Bills. And I think the reasoning behind that is twofold. One is that it's very much a love letter to the end of the 60s, and it was Tarantino's sort of ode to what he envisioned as the golden age of film and the starting of television. And so it was very much grounded in that era, which I didn't have a lot of frame of reference or context for. So I feel like a lot of it was possibly lost on me. And the other part of it is that while there was a story, it wasn't so much focused on the characters after a certain point. It was more, if you imagine Hollywood as a character, it was more a snapshot of the town, the culture, the vibe of it during that era, and almost like a period piece kind of deal for late 60s Hollywood. That being said, Quentin Tarantino, amazing stylistically. I mean, the music, the camera angles, the way he sets up shots, everything was fantastic. I don't want to get too much into the
plot
details.
Was there a trunk shot?
A truck shot?
Trunk shot.
Oh, trunk shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, no. He broke tradition?
There were a lot of feet shots. Tarantino likes his feet.
Okay. Was Brad Pitt naked in it at any point in time?
No.
Well, then I'm not going to go see it.
You're boycotting Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood. Then asking the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was really good. I enjoyed it. Not as much as some of his other films, but I do think it's a worthwhile film to go see.
So where would you rank it in the Tarantino universe? Because this is his ninth film.
His ninth film, yeah.
And he said on multiple times he only wants to do 10 films. So he's at the end of his career then by
his own statements, yeah, right. He's nearing the end of his career. I'd say it's probably in the middle or somewhere lower than the middle of the overall rankings. I mean, nothing's going to top Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs for me.
Glad you mentioned Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. Well, good. I mean, that's the one that started it all. The Kill Bills, at least the first Kill Bill, was one of my favorites. Django Unchained, another one of my favorites. This is in the mid-tier of, like, The Hateful Eight was good, got better on subsequent viewings. Once Upon a Time is very much like that. I left the theater thinking it was good, but it wasn't as good as some of his previous movies.
So like a 5-6 in the rankings.
Probably in that mid to lower half of the overall filmography.
So then, yeah, also you would also say that his quality has gone down then, because Hateful Eight was 8. This is 9.
Yeah.
Django was 7.
Django
right?
was 7. So Django was
so Django was your bleep back into hope, and now it's
Django was really, really Django was better than Inglourious Basterds and Kill Bill 2, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that overall, it's hard to say. When you have Pulp Fiction as your second film, or third, was it second or third? I can't remember.
Second. Because Reservoir was first. That was
and then
first
Pulp
one.
Fiction, then Jackie Brown. I've never seen Jackie Brown. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you come out with your second movie as Pulp Fiction, I mean, there's nowhere to go but down, because that's one of the best of all time. So it's hard to maintain that level or surpass it.
Right.
So it's a little cheap to say, has it been declining? Because I mean, yeah. It's been declining, but only because he made like one of the top 10 films of all time as his second movie. So,
all right,
of course, that's my opinion.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. So there you go. It's Mike's quick review of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood from Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, I guess we'll have to see it when it comes out on demand instead, because there's no naked Brad Pitt. So.
I mean, I'll still see it because Brad Pitt's really hot.
And I will see it for that as well.
But I will not pay $15.
Yeah. I'll wait till it comes on Netflix or something.
Yep.
Okay. So,
the debate rages on about whether or not Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a blockbuster or a fall drama indie. Just like the
blockbuster.
Age old, it's not a blockbuster. It's not.
Oh my God, he's looking it up.
Anyway, I'm not looking it up.
I'm lying.
What?
Anyway,
I'm trying to throw to the next segment here.
You do that. I'm going to go over to the island.
Rich has
got to
get some stuff set up. But yeah, there's another age-old debate that's been raging, and that is, of course, whether or not Hawaiian pizza is good or not. Apparently, it's come down to us on this podcast to decide for the rest of society whether or not Hawaiian pizza can stand with the rest of the pizzas. Last week, we talked a little bit about how the Crispy Noodle staff, I guess, was divided on the subject. Some of us hated it. Some of us loved it. So we decided to do a taste test. Everybody jumped into this one. And we're going to let you guys know what we think about it. So, Rich, do you have everything set up over there?
Okay, so here we are reporting live from the kitchen island. And we're going to do the taste test here. Between Mike's mom and Mike's brother JB, how you guys doing?
wonderful.
Yeah.
Hungry.
Boy, he is.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, Bruno has been starving for this. All right, so Bruno is a fan of pineapple pizza, Hawaiian pizza. You have your concerns. Mrs. Costanzo,
yeah,
not
really
sure.
Big ones.
Like what?
That this is going to taste really bad.
But, all right, well, it's a new experience. You got to try it.
You're right, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know what a Greek.
If you don't like
thinking.
It, I'm eating it.
Okay, all right. Bruno is like,
all right,
he needs
ahead.
To eat.
He really likes it.
So go ahead.
Ahead,
first bite, go ahead. Tell us your thoughts, your feelings. Yeah, look at that. He went right in for it.
It's amazing.
Okay.
The sweetness from the pineapple, the ham, the cheese, the sauce, the bread, great.
All together now. All right. The verdict is in.
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I don't like the pineapple with the tomato together.
Why? It's too sweet?
Yeah, it's just too sweet. Doesn't taste like a pizza. I'm sorry.
Just because it doesn't taste like a pizza?
No, it's too sweet.
No, well, now to be fair,
be sweet.
To be fair, I know when you guys make your tomato sauce, it's very acidic. So you're more on the heavy tomato-y side rather than the sweet side. So
yeah,
I can believe that you wouldn't be a fan.
We
of it,
don't
but...
put sugar in our tomato sauce.
Okay, that's fine.
So
it
we
needs
don't
more
sweeten.
Pineapple.
See, he wants it even sweeter.
Well, it needs bigger pieces.
Not bad, but I just didn't like the pineapple. If they did without the ham, I could tolerate, but the pineapple, no.
Okay. Well, I was really hoping.
Like, no, it's better than pepperoni, because I don't like pepperoni.
If you're going to ask a question, get over on the microphone. But I was trying to convert you over to my side. At least you took a bite. You went for it.
I did take a bite. Will
okay.
I ever order it? No.
Okay, fair enough. At least you tried it. We followed up on the research. We made it this far. Bruno's happy. He's finally getting dinner.
He's had two slices of pizza already. That's it, kid. You're done.
How long was that? Can you check the runtime on that?
Just over a minute.
Just, wow. It's been a minute. He ate two slices in a damn minute. All right. Impressive. Okay, so as much as I tried, I was really hoping you would come see my side.
Oh, I still got that sweetness in my mouth.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I'm going to go eat something nice and spicy.
Okay. Well, that's another thing, too. You like spicy stuff. I'm not big on the spicy scale.
And there's the difference.
Okay.
All right.
All right. At least you gave it a try.
And I did give it a try. And I did have a nice chunk of pineapple on that small bite that I took.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You guys want to get your slices? So in the middle of all this, we also did a Facebook poll, a Twitter poll, and the results were almost down the middle, exact like 50-50, which is really weird because I think we had a response of over 50 votes and we still could not decide on an answer to this. So Nena's going to be up. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good, right? Isn't it great that we're doing this live on a remote here at the Kitchen Island? This is the first time we've been away from the main kitchen table.
This is perfect.
And there you go. All right, and Mikey has made his return to the podcast. Oh, you got me a slice.
A slice for you, too, of course.
Finally.
You got to get in on this.
Yeah, because this is my jam.
All right. So, a little background. I've only had Hawaiian pizza from my college cafeteria, and it was not good.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe actual Hawaiian pizza will be a little bit better.
Right. I think this is probably going to be better for you than the one you remember when you were a freshman in your dorm and you were probably thinking about going to play Madden or something.
Yeah,
and you
I'm very excited to
shoved
try
it down your gullet or something.
Wow. Ouch. I'm very excited to try this, though.
There you go.
So let's do it. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to take a bite now, too. I'm great pieces.
So I've always had a theory about pineapple pizza, and it's really just, I'm not that into it.
Not at all?
No, because like, I don't really like to combine my salty and my sweet.
Okay. You don't like your salty and your sweet
mix.
And
I'm Italian, so it's like, I don't think true Italians like this crap on their pizza.
That was my mom's argument.
Really?
That was my mom's argument.
Way to go, Nana!
So I'm going to give this to Bruno because I know he'll eat it.
Yeah, Bruno's going to knock this out in a couple minutes flat. But here's the big question. I knew the long shot was trying to get your mom. I didn't think that was going to happen, but I think I have a shot with you. What do you think?
I'm sorry, but it's just not that great.
No?
No. I will admit, it's better than I recall, but I still wouldn't... Let's put it this way. I wouldn't ever order this. I wouldn't ever go out of my way to have a slice. If there was this and something else, I would go with the something else.
So basically,
so this is
anything
like,
else.
Out of all the different toppings of pizza, this one's got to be... It's got to be pretty down there. Sorry, Rich.
Is it just the mixture? Is it the...
It is. It's the mixture. It's like... You wouldn't expect the texture and the taste of pineapple on a pizza. Like, sometimes mixing textures and mixing expectations can be fun and exciting, but this time it was like, this should not be on here. It's exactly what I thought. It is a... What is it? It was a Greek chef creating an Italian food in Canada featuring Hawaiian fruit. It shouldn't exist.
Listen, guys.
Well, oh yeah, let's get Frank Costanzo. Yeah,
wild card.
Here we go. Step right on up.
You know what?
I
wasn't going to get into this, but now,
get up.
But now I have to get into it because you guys are philosophizing and theorizing and all this. But I have to say, I haven't tried it yet. But I know I'm going to like it.
Yeah,
because right. I'm hungry.
Try
so
it.
So I'm going to like it. I'm going to eat it. It's going to be good.
Yes, give all it right. a shot.
Come I don't on. Have to try. I know I like it.
What if he doesn't?
Come on. He's gonna like it. He's got to like it. Come on.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Costanzo's on my side. All right. All right. I converted one member of the Costanzo tribe. There we go.
Sorry, buddy. That's the only one you're converting.
That's a one out of three success rate. So 33%.
It's not terrible.
It's not bad.
It's not great. It's not terrible.
That's great in a baseball game. I went 1-for-3. And the one is the one's like a home run.
So just getting my dad, that's all that matters.
Yeah. That was the grand slam.
I see where I stand now.
Yes. So there you go. We made our final follow-up video on this. The case will never be settled, but as far as I'm concerned, that means more Hawaiian pizza for me. So
I'll take it.
All right. We'll be right back here on the crispy. I didn't realize I shouldn't have eaten that one.
No, you shouldn't. We'll be right back with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. We have lots more for you guys.
Don't be a big, stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
21-year-old Amber Fisher and 21-year-old Joseph Polk had a marijuana grinder with a picture of Yoda on it, and then they admitted that their code word to sell pot was, quote, stoned I am. Yeah, I don't think this is an episode of Star Wars, but interesting.
Well, what this is actually the leaked script for episode 10.
Wow, 10? So, they skipped 9?
Yes.
They got high.
Right, exactly.
They forgot how to count. So this was the code for them dealing pot.
That's such a terrible code, too.
Yeah.
Stoned I am.
Also, like, are you forcing your buyers to actually mimic Yoda?
Like, you didn't do the voice. He's not legit.
Right.
Stoned I am. Wacky, is this tobacco?
You can tell you've watched a lot of Star Wars in your day.
Puff, puff, I will. Puff. Come, we must smoke. Yes.
I could totally imagine Yoda being like a pothead, especially when he's on Dagobah.
He kind of isn't on Dagobah.
There's all that fog around. Kind of fits.
He acts pretty crazy on Dagobah.
The first thing he grabs when he sees Luke's little camp is the food.
He's already got the munchies. Yoda is a Jedi stoner. Yeah. Confirmed.
In any case, Fisher and Polk were immediately arrested.
And that's still such a stupid code.
It is.
I mean, you have stoned in the code.
Yeah.
That's like, may I please have some pot?
Yeah, you might as well just flat out said, pot may I have?
Yeah. How about, I don't know, what would be a good Star Wars code?
Moisture farms are nice.
Moisture farms? Sure. Let's go with that. Let's go with that one. Could you just imagine going to someone else and be like, moisture farms are nice?
You better hope you have the right drug dealer.
Oh, you're going to get stabbed so fast.
This is why I'm not a drug dealer. Oh,
yeah.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Man, all right, so we did a lot so far. The sports sampler, their team and entree, and then a side dish where we tried Hawaiian pizza. I got one out of three Costanzo members to switch.
You tried your best, but at the end of the day, it wasn't enough.
What do you mean? I think that's a success in my book.
Nope.
What? What's wrong?
Nope.
What? No, why not?
Because one out of three is not a success.
Yeah, that's 38%
by mere majority. Yeah, but that's why baseball sucks.
Fact.
All right. Well, whatever. I'm still viewing this as a win, so I'll take what I can get.
33% of a win.
Right. My winning percentage is 0.333. At least I'm not 0-16. So there you go. Take that.
You're not the 2016 Browns.
Right. I'm not the Browns or the Lions.
There you go.
So
you did
it. I did it. But, you know, the next thing that we have to get to is the odd news. Let's just do it. Let's launch right into it. The non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandata bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
All right, let me see if I can get that right. This is where I was going to ask Mike, what is the time for? So
there you go.
There you go.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, even though he's a little flustered.
Just a little bit. Yeah, I'm fine.
Nana and I react to the news. I got it. Can I say why? Because we had a little bit of a pre-odd news discussion about...
Go ahead. I'm going to see you explain this.
Cream-filled dildos. I can't even say it with a straight face.
There you go.
This is what we talk about during the breaks. But anyway, it's appropriate because we're about to get into one of the weirdest and wackiest segments we have here on the show, the non-fortune cookie odd news. Rich finds all these weird stories that keeps them hidden from us so that all our reactions are our genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. Rich, what do you got for us?
So my first story here is actually a little bit respectable. I mean, it's not something traditional.
Get it out of the odd news.
Yeah, right. We don't want it.
Right. It's not something that you would traditionally be in odd news coming from the world of investing and the economy. I know this is.
Do we need to put on like business attire or something? What's going on here?
Yeah, you might have to. You might have to get your suits on and get ready to go down to the floor of Wall Street with this story.
Investing.
Yeah.
But you're into investing. You've been doing that Robinhood app.
I've been playing around with it.
Is it that type of investing?
Like stock yeah, market? It does have to do with those apps. So here's the story. Just about every time Ford Motor makes news, there's a few investors. That mistakenly buy shares of Ford Industries because they think they just go to Wall Street, buy Ford. But that's not the case. The letters on the New York Stock Exchange represent different things. So, for example, Ford actually represents Forward Industries. If you want to buy Ford Motor, you have to look for F. That's the ticker symbol to buy Ford Motor. Is
just
F.
F?
Correct. Yeah. So a lot of people get it confused.
That's really misleading.
Right. Apple's another perpetrator of this. Apple, if you want to go buy Apple, you have to look for AAPL, not Apple, because Apple's also the name of a real estate firm, Apple Hospitality.
Mm.
So it's little discrepancies like that that happen every now and then, but it never really gets covered in the news. But unfortunately, with the rise of amateur stock trading like Robinhood, Acorns, those apps that, right. that you know let anybody invest, a recent study from Rutgers, actually right across the river, has confirmed that more than $1 million will be lost from millennials who get the names of the ticker wrong when they're investing on the apps. That is a lot of mistakes.
Why are we so dumb as a generation?
What, like, the transactions cost, and I know because I do Robinhood. Robinhood is actually free when it comes to the transaction cost. But like Acorns and Ally, right. they're like, I don't know, something like 0.1% of your total investment. So it's like pennies. So for this to amount to wow. $1 million is a lot of mistakes.
Well, wait, do they mean $1 million lost in transaction fees or lost because they thought that they were spending $100 on Apple stocks, but they're...
No, lost in transaction
lost
fees.
Lost in transaction fees?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is a Yikes. Lot. Yeah. This is on a multitude level. This is...
That's really bad.
Yes. This is huge.
This is why I don't invest.
Yeah.
Just so you can't get the letters right.
I just don't understand it because I'm dumb.
Well, it really is just
it's gambling.
Yeah, it's a fancier gambling attire. It
yeah,
is because nobody ever knows what the stocks are going to do. It could sink tomorrow. It could go. You know, it really is when you think about it.
Oh, I'm not good at gambling.
Yeah, you just put it all on red.
That's not true.
It is true. I've won at the roulette wheel by putting it on red.
One time
it
I
is
won
one time you bet.
$200.
Two times, Rich.
Two times. Ooh.
One time I won $200 playing blackjack, ooh. And then I lost $300.
Ooh, and that was the end of your experience.
And that was all I've ever done. Never
you
did it
won
again.
$200. That was pretty good if you had left it at that moment.
But that's why I didn't understand gambling. Because I was like, yeah, let's keep going, greedy bitch. And then.
Yeah, the longer you play, the more the house wins.
Yeah.
But still, it's fun.
It is fun, but I'm very cheap.
Same here.
So I don't spend a lot of money. Maybe that's why I downloaded Robinhood, and I only got my one free stock of Groupon, which I hate. I hate Groupon. Do you know how many emails they send me? Like hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I bought one thing once from Groupon.
Yeah, if they get your email, right. they just constantly bombard you.
Oh, my God. I have a stock of them.
Yes.
Am I like a partial owner, like investor? Can I go to their investment meetings and be like, I demand you stop sending me so many goddamn emails?
I guess you could. You have one share of the company.
We're going to do it.
Do it.
Go look up their next
shareholders meeting.
Yeah, meeting. And yeah, you could. You own a stock of it.
I'm going to call in. I'm going to be that raving lunatic.
There you go.
It's your next activity.
Yes. I have a growing list of activities I need to do, which I'm not going to talk about right now.
So this study came from Andrei Nikiforov and Vadim Balashov, who are assistant professors of finance at Rutgers University
so
of
smart
Camden.
People.
Yeah, yep.
They, not like us.
Racist.
because they're professors. Yes. Of economics.
Is that, did he say professors?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that part.
They wrote a research paper
Who's
on the topic.
Racist now.
Nikiforov says that most of these young investors don't reverse the incorrect trade for more than a week. And actually, at some point, a large percentage just simply rationalize the purchase as still being a good investment. So there you go.
Wow.
They just keep
like,
the stock.
Oh, well.
Oh, yep. In continuation, to further the craziness, accounts that use robo-trading or algorithmic trading actually also take advantage of the mistakes as well. In the report, it says, quote, computers scan for stocks and they look for ones in play. So if there is an unexpected move, the algorithms don't look for a reason. They just jump on the bandwagon whether or not the stock is rising or falling, period.
So a bunch of people make a mistake and these algorithms jump onto it as well.
Right. So they're actually taking advantage of this happening as well. So if Ford announces something big, it's somehow indirectly affecting Ford Industries because they have the actual ticket somewhere.
So the key is right before Apple makes their announcements for new phones in September, somebody should start a company with the New York Stock Exchange number of A or AAAPL.
Right, something else that's similar to it and get a lot of people to mistakenly buy it.
Well, I've always said that we should do, like, is CNN publicly traded? Because we could do CNNN, Ooh. Crispy Noodle News Network.
Oh, yeah.
I say we do it.
We could sell those cumtails.
Yes.
It all I've got a lot of products ready.
Yeah, it all circles back to the cumtown.
Just
that's
let
where
me
all,
know.
She's ready to go. She's got... You won't believe how many she's already produced.
Wow. Okay. There you go. We're ready to go.
She's got shipments waiting to go to customers.
Right.
And me.
Not the used ones.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. We'll start our own New York Stock Exchange ticker and we'll try and get people.
CNNN.
Yeah. Just add one. That's all you got to do. Yeah. One more.
Crispy Noodle News Network.
Yeah. And then people will think they're buying CNN and then we get.
This all hinges on whether or not CNN is publicly traded, though.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It has to be, right?
Yeah.
Should I look it up?
Yeah, just type in like CNN Stock Exchange or something
exactly
like that.
Exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's got to be publicly traded. I mean, Fox is, NBC is.
No. I typed in CNN New York Stock Exchange, and all it did was take me to their stock market website.
No! You need like ticker symbol. So that I think that would be the appropriate word that you need.
Well, apparently I'm too stupid to Google, so we're not gonna be.
Mike has hit a low point. He just said he's too stupid to Google.
Shut up. Ticker symbol. No, that's Caledonian Trust.
Oh, maybe somebody else already has CNN.
Yeah, somebody already
CNN
did it.
CNN is Caledonian Trust PLC.
Oh, what?
I put in CNN ticker symbol.
But is that what it comes up as?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, Mike.
No,
I don't know how.
Why don't you Google what's CNN stand for?
I actually have Robin.
Go to Robin. Yeah, why are you making me do this?
Oh, my God. I can't believe. Come on, Mike.
Wait, what does CNN stand for?
Cable News Network?
Then look up Cable News Network.
Here, I will search on. Here, I'm going to search my Robinhood, see if I can actually invest in CNN.
It's a race to see who can Google faster.
So
and I'll just sit here.
All right.
Pretty.
So we can't do CNNE. CNNE is Kene. That is.
See, he can't find anything either.
Yeah, you guys are both dumb. Should I just take over?
Should we all three of us Google at the same
so
time?
So in other news,
I don't know if they're publicly traded. I'm on the Wikipedia page.
It doesn't come up. So I'm going to go with there's probably.
So Nena's on the case now. We're all Googling.
Oh, my
now.
God. The Google expedition.
Can somebody teach us how to Google?
No, when I put it in my Robinhood app, CNN doesn't come up. So I'm going to go with that.
See,
there's
and you
probably
even
a rule. There's probably some sort of rule that you can't do CNN. Either CNN outright owns it and they just don't trade on it, or you know, there's some sort of exemption.
So we need to come up with another strategy, is what you're saying?
Yeah, we have to use an actual
CNN
TV network.
Is not a publicly traded company.
How did she find that so fast?
There you go. Oh, there you go. It's private.
In short, CNN and Fox News are subsidiaries.
Ah, there you go. So you can't do it.
Oh, yeah, because Fox is part of Disney now. What's CNN part of?
Disney. It probably is.
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, it's part of AT&T's Warner Media.
Oh, there you go.
So it'd be under AT&T's Warner Media thing.
All because you want to sell a cumtail.
Yes, we're trying to make money off of this.
You got
to
make those big bucks. You know, that's how you do it.
All right. Well,
anyway.
We'll figure out a better strategy.
So we did learn that I am fucking awesome at
yes.
Googling.
You have the Google yes. foo.
Thanks.
Why do you always ask me to Google your perverted things then?
Because I don't want that shit on my phone.
Wow. Oh, what, my 9-year-old computer is fine with it? This poor thing's
yeah.
about to die.
Right.
So, but if you it says to me every night, if you give me one more dirty search, I'm going to die.
It'll
it's
die,
die
with great
yeah.
memories, though.
It's going to
well,
die. It's going to die anyway. Just let it, you know, let it die.
Just let it die?
Yeah.
Send it up to the laptop pasture in the sky.
Right. Fill up that RAM. Fill it up real hard.
My RAM is always filled up.
Oh, God.
What does that even mean?
Well, you know what RAM is, right?
Well, yeah, it's because Google is a RAM hog.
Okay. Let's get to some more traditional odd news stories here. Next one, we're going to Kenya.
Wow.
How do you like that?
Real
that
local.
Not local at all.
That is a 180.
Yep.
Going from the stock market to Kenya.
Yep. And some people may complain about, you know, their country's government, but this is ridiculous. It actually happened in Kenyan's government assembly. A heated debate about the market actually stalled when politicians noticed a foul smell and then furious finger pointing began over who passed gas at the assembly.
Really?
Yes.
What,
literally.
Are they children?
Literally.
Come on.
They are playing the whodunit game over farts in the Kenyan government assembly.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I really want to know who done it.
Yeah, right. Who done it?
So here's
Is
the
there
best
an investigation.
Wait, it was that bad? It filled the entire assembly?
Yes.
It's probably like, you know, five chairs in a room somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not the U.S. Capitol, but I mean,
it's just like, it's just a small side room of somebody's house.
The best part is because it's government records, we have the dialogue here.
Yes.
Julius Gaya, who's a politician representing Homa Bay, says, quote, "Honorable Speaker, I noticed that one of us has polluted the air. I know who it is."
Wow.
Wow. Just right out. Coming
well,
right
very
out.
Very formal. I like this.
He then accuses Edwin Kakash. What a name. Kakash.
Kakash.
That guy should be the head of finance. His name is Kakash.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, he's close to cha-ching. But he, Gaya accuses Kakash of the fart. And then he replies, "I am not the one. I would dare not do such a thing in front of my fellow colleagues."
I
they're
mean, really.
So formal. I love it. They're talking about farting, but they're like, "No, sir, it is not I who expended the gaseous form from my buttocks."
Yes.
We should turn this into a play.
Oh, yes. A dramatic David Mamet play.
A dramatic
play.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I would. That would be. I think that would be appropriate for the stage.
"But I, for shall not, was the one who farted."
Yes. "How dare thou accuseth me of passing thine gas."
And then there will be a love story somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
Well, you have to have that B plot.
Yeah. Right.
You have to weave.
So
two of the General Assembly people, they're, you know, it's across the farting aisle.
They're gazing across the gaseousness.
Right.
You actually see a little hint of green.
"I cannot see you through the fog. My love, where hast you gone?"
Why did we give them like Shakespearean?
I don't know. Well, it's because they were speaking very formal.
They're
in the
so formal.
Yeah.
So continue with the dialogue. How
yeah,
formal
let's hear
they
it.
Were. So they accused Kakash.
Yes.
Kakash denied.
Right. That's when the speaker then asked his assistants to bring in air fresheners.
Oh my God.
He says, quote, "We need the air fresheners to make the room pleasant. Please get whatever flavor you can find."
Flavor?
Yeah, I guess they call it flavors there.
Are they eating them?
I don't know, I guess.
It was that foul, they had to eat air fresheners.
And then digest them and then fart out the air fresheners, which then actually made the air fresher.
Yeah, there you go. Bam, just heading out. Then finally, the speaker then notes, "We cannot continue sitting in an environment that
oh
smells
my
bad."
Gosh. It could not have possibly been that bad.
Someone probably shit their pants a little. Haven't you ever done that?
A little bit. They sharted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
not good.
Yeah, that smell's not going away.
Is it warm in Kenya? Maybe it's a
yeah,
little bit
of
like
in the middle of Africa.
It's a small room with no windows.
In the middle of Africa.
And they're sitting in someone's shit.
Yeah.
There you go.
Someone's? Not their own, but just someone's?
No, I mean, but the rest of them are
well,
in
right,
that
right.
one someone.
Yeah. Right. Because obviously someone shit their pants. So everybody's in the same boat now.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
If I were a Kenyan
Yikes.
Ambassador.
Yep. So that's.
You would accuse somebody of sharting.
Yeah.
You sharted.
I would
good
say,
sir.
Thou sharteth.
Thou sharteth.
In your Shakespearean accent.
Thou must be confronted.
Oh, my God.
So at that point, that's when the speaker allowed a 15-minute recess.
Is that enough, though?
I guess it
to
was.
To clear that smell?
Apparently,
it's that pungent that they can't even stomach the thought of sitting there.
I think you're right. Because that would explain how it could get out of the room in 15 minutes. Someone probably was able to go to the bathroom, change their underwear or something.
Oh, man. I feel bad for that person if they actually did.
Somebody must have. For it to stink that bad.
Look. Farts aren't the most pleasant thing, but they're not room-clearing, everybody-halting-government-procedure type affairs.
Maybe it was just that silent but deadly.
If it's that bad, if someone really shit their pants, oh yeah, you're going to get out of the room.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You guys have a point. It's probably not just a fart. Because just a fart would not have cleared a room like that.
Or it's a series of farts.
So somebody's just like constantly...
Constantly.
Wow.
It's just one long stream.
Yeah. I mean, you've had those when you've held...
thank you, Richard, for the helpful demonstration.
Just like all at once.
Yeah, when you've held it in all day and then all of a sudden it's just like let her rip.
Slowly, yeah.
Or you...
It's
yeah,
like
you
a zipper, like a zipper fart. Like,
right.
You know?
Or they're trying to hold it in so tight that it was escaping, so it escaped and spurted.
So it's eking out every once in a while. Every time they shift or get up and shuffle their papers a little bit.
But they're clamping that butt shut, but
it's
not
clenched
helping.
Really
tight. So it's like an ongoing.
It's pressurizing it in there.
Correct.
It's like a pressure cooker.
Right.
So the longer they keep it in there, the more foul it's getting because it's building and building and building. This is the science of farts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Real? Is that real?
Sure.
Oh, you sound so confident.
I am.
Mike is a doctor.
I'm a doctor of farts. Fartology.
There you go.
Is a real thing.
Great.
Dr. Fart.
Dr. Fart. No, I'm a doctor of fartology. My name isn't Dr.
No,
Fart.
No, it should be, though. Yep,
that's his side job.
Dr. Fart. Is
Dr. Fart.
I'm going to look up fartology.
There you go. So Mike's side job. He'll be Dr. Fart. All right. How about we get to another story?
Wait, is that it? What happened?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's it? They were just fine after that? Yeah.
They never found out who it was, at least definitively.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Did they at least solve, world peace in the meantime?
No. They got the smell out. That's all they did that day.
Talk about an ineffective government. They didn't solve world peace, and they didn't figure out who farted.
Yep.
But what are they good for?
At least the smell got out of the room. That's important.
For now.
Right, for now. All right, next story, going to Virginia in this one.
Okay.
And this might be the lamest superhero, but we'll give it a shot here.
Is it Pants Man?
No. Residents living in a Virginia neighborhood woke up to find televisions on their doorsteps, but it's not as great as you think it is because the televisions were from the 1980s and the 1990s.
Wow. That
sounds awesome.
You want an old box TV?
Well, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so it's like a little nostalgic.
It would be kind of neat. Like, I always like seeing old technology.
Do you really want...
No, I don't want one.
And those big box ones?
Yeah.
Well, wait, how big was it?
Like...
That's what she said.
Yeah, yes. Ring doorbell surveillance cameras captured a man who wore a TV set on his head that went out to homes and laid older TVs down on front porches in a neighborhood in Virginia.
He's just trying to give them to a good home. They're like lonely, TVs that need to be adopted.
It's like the TV tooth fairy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jim Brooksbank has told reporters that the victims are calling him Old TV Santa.
Old TV Santa?
Yes.
That doesn't sound very original.
Yeah. The bizarre discovery happened Sunday morning. Outdated TVs were found at more than 50 homes in Virginia.
This guy's been busy.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing that alarms me the most is those old TVs are very cumbersome and clunky. Where is he keeping all these TVs?
Was it all in one night?
Yeah, this was all one night, 50 TVs.
He's definitely Santa Claus.
Definitely. Because there's no way you can keep 50 of those TVs, like, no matter how big a truck you have.
Warehouse?
Does he have a U-Haul just filled with TVs?
Yeah, he have elves.
And he did this in the middle of the night. Are you allowed to, like, keep a U-Haul, like...
Overnight?
How? Yeah, I don't know. I've never rented a U-Haul before.
Like a dolly.
Well, I'm sure
dolly.
You can...
Dolly.
I think you can keep a U-Haul. You can keep a U-Haul overnight.
Oh, yeah. He keeps them in the U-Haul, but then he has a dolly that brings him up to
the stairs. Right, right, right. Yeah, but he's got 50 TVs. How big were they? Like screen size wise, because they get really big.
Some range from 14 inches to 30 inches.
That's a that's a lot of space.
That's a heavy fucking TV.
Yeah,
there's old TVs. Oh yeah.
And I mean, also, if you're also talking about ones from the 1980s, some of those were like built into furniture.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I had one of those.
You're talking screen size is 14 inches, but the actual box itself is much larger.
Right.
So what, like, how is he transporting all these? Like, he rented a U-Haul to load up 50 TVs. Where did he get the 50 TVs from?
Maybe he's got a warehouse full of them or something.
Why would he have a warehouse full of TVs?
He's old television Santa Claus.
It's his North Pole in Virginia.
Yes. It's his home away from home.
I want to write this guy and get his autograph.
Yeah. Does he live next door to real Santa?
Homeowner Michael Kroll also notes that this old TV Santa must have too much time on their hands. I thought my son brought it home as a joke, but he said he didn't. That's when they checked the surveillance cameras on the Ring doorbell and saw the freakish man with a TV set on his head. So he's also actually wearing one of the box TV sets as like a helmet.
I've seen that before.
I love this. I love everything about this story.
Henrico police are tuned into the situation. They have multiple camera videos from multiple neighbors. As of right now, they just think it's a simple prank.
That's a lot of effort for a prank.
One officer says it just seems to be more of an inconvenience than it is a crime. According to Henrico police, the only real crime that they could charge this guy with is illegal dumping.
Okay.
Since there are no leads on who exactly old TV Santa Claus is and the crime is a misdemeanor, the case is right now being dropped.
There it is. Yeah, there you go. Picture.
There it is. That's the guy. Yep.
Wow.
We got the footage.
That is
in
super
house.
Creepy.
That's amazing.
That's really creepy.
Literally a guy with a TV on his head.
Could you imagine watching that on your camera?
Oh, I would not enjoy that at all. I would actually find that supremely disturbing.
But I think it was, well, you said they were up to 30 inches. I don't know how the hell they did it.
Yeah.
The TVs were positioned so that when the front doors opened, the person inside was facing the screen.
Oh.
That's so, I mean, I love this guy.
There you go. You need to write a letter to old TV Santa.
I'm going to find him.
Okay. Well, you have to move to Virginia because apparently that's where he strikes.
I'm of mixed opinion here because I think it'd be cool to have like the old TV, but I also think it'd be really disturbing.
God, there's a video too.
You guys, while you're watching the video, I got to say, for someone dealing with someone that has box TVs, they are impossible to get rid of.
They
suck.
They are.
We had a big, you all right? You put back your arm over there. We had a big, like, 38-inch one to get rid of.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It is impossible. You can't even, like...
It's like 100 pounds. It's gotta be.
And, like, even if, like, you call Best Buy to ask them to recycle it, they won't come out. You have to get it to the Best Buy. It's up to you to do it.
Yeah.
So it's a pain in the ass.
Now, imagine moving 50 of them.
Right.
Not that size, but that's what I mean. Like, this dude is going through a lot of trouble, a lot of effort for this prank.
This is perfect.
Yeah, Nana is absorbed into those security footage.
It's on people.com.
Yeah, this is a real story. This is legit. Someone is running around as old TV Santa Claus. So,
it's so weird.
It's so weird.
I don't like it anymore.
Mike is going to have nightmares of this guy now.
Because he walks into the house and the TV on his head's like going like back and forth, back and
forth. Because he's got a balance of TV on his head.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's more.
But it's like in the middle of the night, it's super creepy.
Yeah. So, Nana is
it's
just enthralled.
Really, so there's like a, oh my God, it's so scary. Oh my God.
You know what we should do? This should be a movie plot.
Oh, yes.
The revenge of the old TVs.
I'm going to be this TV guy for
you
Halloween.
Used to watch TV, but what happens?
When the TV watches you.
That's so good.
Yes.
Oh no, that's
here we go.
Terrible.
Call Hollywood up. We got an idea for a horror movie.
Hello, Hollywood? Have we got an idea for you?
Yeah. That's so dumb. It could work. I think this could be a legit movie franchise.
It's so creepy. Show Rich.
It's so creepy. Hold on.
I think we're onto something. That should be a movie franchise.
Creepy.
Yeah. He just leaves the TV on the
Then they show like what it looks like if you're watching it at home and you're like doorbell camera and he like stands up and then stares.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He knows you're watching.
Oh, my God.
He knows when you've been watching.
And then he saunters
he knows
off
when
with a TV
you change
on his
the
head.
Channels. He knows if you've been watching porn, so watch away.
These are nice ones.
I don't know.
Yo, these are
TV Santa took a kinky turn.
These are nice houses, too. So
he's leaving the TVs to people who don't really need the TVs.
Exactly.
It'd be cooler if he was like old TV Santa Robin Hood, where he was like taking TVs from the rich people and giving them to the less TV fortunate.
The still rich people.
But yeah, true story. The old TV Santa Claus, he's out and about in Virginia. All right, we're running out of time, but I want to get to a Florida story. So let's do our obligatory Florida story in this final story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Boy, man, this is this is good. In the midst of a weekend-long gay orgy, a 9mm handgun was stolen from the host's bedroom, and he called cops about it.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
There's a whole lot going on in this story.
Yes.
Why are you bringing guns to an orgy?
Just in case.
Just in case.
Were they cream-filled?
You pull the trigger, it's just like...
That noise. That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Good imitation, Mike.
Can you do it again? Can you isolate that?
Yes.
That's so gross.
Yeah.
According to
I'm making the gun motion with my finger that nobody can see.
It's perfect.
As detailed in the county sheriff's office report, the 63-year-old victim told deputies that his favorite...
Wait, did you say 63?
Yes.
Wow.
Hey,
orgies know no age boundaries.
Orgies are ageless.
Right, right. You know, if you know, you can be 63 and still get your freak on.
That's right. And was it a whole bunch of other old people, or was it like the whole gamut of ages?
I think it ran the gamut. Okay. So he told deputies that his favorite Glock pistol. Wow.
So he has ones that are not his favorite.
Right, his favorite. Oh boy, okay. not that one. You could have taken any other Glock.
So he had a lot of guns ready for his orgy.
Yeah. His favorite Glock pistol turned up missing after last month's open house party at his residence. The retired man told cops that the loaded weapon was put in a holster atop a nightstand in his bedroom. The victim, whose name had to be redacted from the police report, so we'll never know who he is, said that he hosted...
I wanted to go to the next gay orgy.
Right, I want to know when the next one is, yeah. He said that he hosted the orgy that lasted from July 19th to July 21st.
Wow.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah. How do people have that much time on their hands?
That's a full-blown
he's
weekend.
He's retired.
At 63?
That's what he said.
Oh, you said retired?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have a lot of time. All they have is time on their hands.
I guess
too
so.
Too much time on my hands.
Is that a ghost song?
No. It's a regular song.
A regular song?
Yeah. Whatever. That's a regular song.
Well, who's it by?
He's not good at the song. He sucks at the sound route, and you know this.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, right. That's why I don't do well.
So do I, so.
I don't know. You find it on the Google, whatever.
Find it on the Google. Rich has never sounded more old than right now.
I'll look it up, because the two of you together wouldn't be able to find it.
Yes. The man added that he posted information about the party on Grindr and Adam for Adam.
Oh,
apparently
that's
new,
not one I heard.
Yeah, it's a new app out there. Interesting. Here's a little tidbit. He said that the theme of the party was just anonymous sex.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
He put no effort into the party.
Right. Come on. At least do a theme.
Right.
You
exactly.
Know, do the 90s or
exactly.
something.
What do you mean a theme? It was gay orgy theme.
Ah, come on. That's lit. Dude,
that's not a. That wasn't the theme. That's what it was. You need
come on.
Another theme. You know.
Well, why would you have another theme when the theme is literally just to bang gay people for
the
entire
time?
It's not a theme. You got to have something to spice
creativity.
It up.
Creativity.
No,
yeah.
That is the theme. That is the theme.
He put no effort into it. He threw a three-day orgy and didn't put any effort into it.
I would say he put a lot of effort if somehow his gun got stolen.
Yeah, he didn't pay attention.
He's not
to
paying
his gun.
Attention to that drawer.
He had his hands full.
And not his favorite gun, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how
why would you leave your gun out during an orgy, though?
He most likely had his mouth full, if we're getting into semantics here.
Right, not the hands, but the mouth. With the cream-filled dildos. Bringing it back around to where this all started.
Yeah. Guests were encouraged to come and go as they pleased during the weekend, and they were told to bring along
you say
any
come and go as they please.
Yes.
Get it.
Yes. And they were told to bring along any friends that they desired, and guests were encouraged. Yep. And guests were encouraged to utilize fictitious names instead of their real names for the anonymous sex. The host estimated that over 20 people visited his home during the sex party weekend, and that he only knew 5 or 6 personally.
That's risky business, right?
Yeah, but
there.
Then he knew them all biblically by the end of that.
The victim said that he thought it was pretty low that somebody stole his favorite gun.
How are they supposed to know it was his favorite, though? Did he have it labeled my favorite Glock?
He should have run background checks.
It should have been like on a mantle, my favorite gun, you know?
In a glass case.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. He said he purchased his favorite Glock 2 years ago for $440 and has, quote, enjoyed carrying it with him. That's a weird, I don't know, that's just a weird phrase to throw in there.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a thought. Don't invite a bunch of random people you don't know into your home.
Yeah. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
That defeats the purpose of the anonymity gay orgy, though.
Anonymy?
Anonymous.
Anonymy. Anonymy. Mike is an expert in anonymy.
I'm an expert.
Dr. Fart.
Dr. Fart.
Dr.
Fart. I'm an expert in fartology and anonymy.
Anonymy.
Oh, my God. Words.
There you go, yeah. The police still have no leads on this story, so unfortunately, I don't think he's going to find his favorite Glock.
It's gone forever.
I hate to say it.
But who goes into a house and also, like, I'm going to take this random person's gun?
Maybe he felt unsafe because he used a safe word and it wasn't...
So he took the gun?
Yeah, because when you use a safe word and no one's respecting it, you have to shoot them.
Oh, that's how it works.
Come on, when was your last gay orgy?
Yeah, Mike, you act like you're new to this.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been to many gay orgies.
I mean, in the last month.
I didn't realize you two were such expert on gay orgy safe words and firearm protocols.
Anonymy.
Anonymy.
Yeah. Like, I can't even talk right, okay?
Yeah. Experts in anonymy here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially start to wrap the episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Dr. Fart, master of anonymy.
I was going to say, the first thing I learned is that I'm an expert at anonymy and fartology.
Yes.
And I'll leave the expertise on gay orgies to Rich and Nena. Apparently they have a lot more knowledge there about shooting people when they don't use the safe word.
And cream-filled dildos.
Cream-filled, essential for all gay orgy activity.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah, very important.
See, we give you all the hot tips here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Literally.
Yeah. Just the tip.
You didn't even know you said that, did you? You just went right for it.
It came right out.
It came right out. Yep.
Right out of the tip. Old TV Santa is the only... I'm done. What have you guys learned?
No, read what you should have
I was going to say, old TV Santa is creepy and amazing.
No, he's great. He's like my new hero.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's only active in Virginia.
Yeah.
But I also learned that Kenyans have such powerful farts that they can clear an entire General Assembly room.
Wow. Yeah.
And force people to eat air fresheners. That's a talent right there.
And this is what their government is working on. Not healthcare or water supply. Nope. Who farted?
No. I mean, the real issues.
Yes.
You know, who cares about clean water and stuff? That's nonsense.
No. Who farted? We need to get to the bottom of this debate.
Think about it. People have been debating about it since kindergarten, so it makes sense that they're still dealing with these big issues.
Will these problems ever be solved?
Never.
We'll have to hire Dr. Fart.
Dr. Fart is on the case.
Yeah.
I also learned that Hawaiian pizza is terrible.
Come on.
Yeah, it's 2-1, we win.
Nah, I think if you open your taste buds, you will discover a world of pleasure with Hawaiian pizza.
Wow, that got weird.
It's the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I'm running with it. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. There you go. Nana, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Chris Moodle Podcast.
Thanks for the gay orgy story.
Yeah, right?
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. You can think about that one if you, you need to share that story with anybody here.
No, what?
I have no idea. I'm getting to the end of my rope.
I'll tell my dad next time I talk to him. He's older.
There you go.
He's retired.
Right. He can have a hobby now.
Yeah, except he's straight, so I don't know if that'll work.
Okay.
Like Rich said, you just got to open up your taste buds.
Yeah. All right. So, Nana, thank you for joining us on this
And you thought
episode.
You got all the pervy out with the pre-odd news talk.
I know.
Yeah. Never doubt the odd news to bring the perv back.
Thanks right. for the perv.
That's what we do here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. And, yeah, so thank you, Nana, for joining us on this crazy episode. And thank you guys for listening. If you like what you heard on this crazy episode, make sure to stay in touch with us. Make sure you go to the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. You follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We're literally on pretty much all of them. So all you got to do is search The Crispy Noodle, and you'll be able to find us there. We're also on SoundCloud, where we have the promos, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick two-minute promo that can share the craziness that we talk about here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually and share some of your stories, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. I got to give a shout out to everyone that participated in the poll.
Oh, yeah.
That helped us, helped us try and steer the conversation for pineapple or Hawaiian pizza. Thank you guys for voting. That's what you can do when you are following the Chris Moodle Podcast. So thank all you guys that did the votes. But for right now, it's time to wrap this episode up. This has been the Chris Moodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
Well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!